Awesome. Well, good morning, everyone. It's definitely a pleasure to be here and thankful. I was so great to go yesterday with Pastor Rob to the camp and just check out the property and just get in that camp heart and camp season. I have an incredible passion for camp. Worked at camp for a number of years, and that's how I actually got my start in ministry, was being a volunteer and then working at summer camp. My wife as well was the same. She grew up going to camp, worked for numbers of years at camp. I believe between the two of us, we probably have about over 60 weeks of camp that we have attended. We're all about that camp and so grateful that you guys get to have a camp so close here that you can attend and participate in. I'm here from Langley, BC as the Kids, Preteen, and Family Ministries Director. And I just wanted to share with you this morning from one of the most kind of popular passages of scripture for family ministries, and that's Deuteronomy chapter 6. And just wanted to share, I don't know if you guys can see, it might look like I'm wearing polka dots, but I actually have little Mickey Mouse heads all over my shirt. My wife and I, we love Disney. I got a picture of the two of us on a couple of our Disneyland trips there. In front of Mickey Mouse's house there and on one of my favorite rides, Splash Mountain. You can see my wife behind me. That was the very first time she had her eyes open going down that big drop on that ride. So that was an exciting time for us. We try to have a trip, a Disney trip for every single year. This summer is going to be our 10th anniversary. And we've managed to do that every single year except 2020. That was an unfortunate year, but we made up for it in 2021 by doing an extra long trip. And it just kind of oozes out of us. It doesn't take very long sitting with the two of us, coming to our house, seeing how it's decorated, seeing what we wear in conversations that we love Disney. We have a passion for Disney. And I know that when we have kids, they're going to love Disney. Not because we're going to force them to, but it's just how they're going to grow up. They're going to grow up with Disney in the house, watching the movies, listening to the music, eating Mickey Mouse-shaped waffles for breakfast, going on Disney trips. And I know also they're going to have a passion for camp. Because every summer, we're going to be up at camp as a family. We're going to be going to the work bees for camp. They're going to be growing up loving camp. And then I think about this question. Am I passing down my passion for God, for His Word, in the same way that I'd be passing down my love for Disney? For everyone here, what passions do you have? It's not hard to share what you love with people. It comes quite naturally. It just flows out of you. You love to talk about the things you're passionate about. But here's the thing. Passion is passed down through generations. And this might sound like it's a call for parents passing down their love and their passions to their kids. But this is a call for all of us. We all have coworkers, friends, family, nieces and nephews, students, people in our lives that we can impact with the passions that we have. And we are called to pass down those passions to those around us. I don't know if any of you are big sports fans here, but all it takes is, you know, wearing your jersey and watching that hockey game every single time it's on for those in your house to kind of catch on to that passion. Or maybe you like the outdoors. Maybe you're big into fishing or hunting. And you just take someone along with you, and it's pretty easy for them to catch that bug and to just see how incredible that can be. There's a gentleman by the name of Keith Farron, and he's made it his life work to talk about this subject, about how to pass down your passion for God to the next generation. And he says this. He says, "Am I passing down my love for God's word in the same way that I'm passing down my love for ice cream? Am I not just talking about it, but am I doing it? Am I doing it in the same way, just as easily, just as naturally, just as joyfully?" You think about all those different things that you have in your life, in your family. Maybe it's that meal that you grew up with, that your parents made you, and now that same meal, you're making it at home in your house. That family tradition that you grew up having, that your parents did as when they were kids, and now you're doing it with your kids. Or for Keith and his passion for ice cream, it was his grandpa that every night after dinner, 8 p.m., they had ice cream. And then when he was a kid, every night, 8 p.m., they had ice cream. And now with his kids, every night at 8 p.m. after dinner, they had ice cream. Our passions are passed down through generations and to those around us. And even, like, have you ever watched someone and been like, wow, I want to do that. I want to be like that. I think all teachers are like that, right? They're passing down their passions to those in their classrooms. Now, let's turn just for a moment before we get to Deuteronomy. I want to read to you from Psalm 78, just verse 1 to 7 here, and just to see what the Bible might have to say on this. It says, "O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power, his mighty wonders. For he issued his law to Jacob, and he gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they in turn will teach their own children so each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands." Throughout the Old Testament, we continuously see this idea of the passion and love for God being passed down from generation to generation to generation. And as we jump into Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is where it started. And just a little background for Deuteronomy, this is the last book of the Torah, or the Pentateuch, the last book out of the first five books of the Bible, that kind of set of the Old Testament. And it's Moses giving his final three speeches or three sermons to the entire nation of Israel before they are heading into the Promised Land. So when Moses got the Israelites out of Egypt, the Exodus, he was with one of the generations that then failed and were told, you are not going to enter into the Promised Land. So by the time we get to Deuteronomy, Moses is now speaking to an entirely new generation. He's speaking to the next generation, not the ones that witnessed and were there when they were called out of Exodus, but the next generation, setting them forward into the Promised Land. And he says, I'll start off here with verse 4, and then we'll get into verse 6 to 9 there. It says, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So this is where it started. Moses giving this call to this new generation entering into the promised land, this land that they had never been before, telling them that going forward, this needs to get passed down from generation to generation. If you're going to succeed, if you're going to flourish, this needs to be something that you continually do. So even with that was my sermon for today. I don't think anyone would disagree with that, that our Christian faith, in order for it to survive, it needs to be passed down to the next generation, right? And anyone have any concerning thoughts with that that we can discuss here? Right? We look in Scripture, we look at this passage, and it's clear that that's our call. God has called us to be those that pass on our passion for Him to the next generation. So the rest of my message here and sermon, I want to lean more to some more practical ways that we can do this, some more calls to actions about how we can implement this into our lives. And the first thing I want to say on this, the first point, is that we need to enjoy the Bible. We need to enjoy the Bible. How can you pass down a passion if you don't yourself have that passion? People know when it's fake. People know when it's not genuine, when it's not true. So to start on passing down your passion to the next generation, first, you got to have a passion for it yourself. You got to find out how you can enjoy being in God's presence and digging in to His Word. I don't know how many of you started January with a resolution or a goal to read the Bible a certain amount of times each week, or a certain amount of length each day throughout the year. You don't have to raise your hands, but I know there's some of you out there, and then there's probably some of you that it didn't take very long before that resolution started to trickle out, and your devotional life just went back to as usual, sporadic. It was more of a chore, more of a grind to get out your Bible. And to be honest, that's me. It's been a struggle, and it's been hard to get that passion ignited for getting into God's Word. So I want to encourage you this morning, maybe it's not the frequency of how much you get into the Bible that needs to be a goal, but finding a way for you to engage with God's Word, that can be your goal for 2022. For some people, it might be that you enjoy Bible study, right? You enjoy the conversations with people. Like you might enjoy a book study where, you know, you're going to read through the book of John and then you get together with people and discuss it and hash it out. And that might be your avenue of getting into God's Word, knowing that, okay, this month is the book of John, and that's where we're going to dive because I get to have conversations with people about it later this month. One of the other good ways that you can, you know, flip the switch on getting into the Bible is reading generally and then get more specific. Like when you think about when you watch a movie, you're not pausing it every 5 minutes and dissecting the movie. You watch the movie in its entirety, and then you can go back in and discuss the movie, right? So when you're looking at the Bible, maybe it's taking an entire story or the whole book of Philippians, reading it all together as one story, as one narrative to really get into it. Maybe you just need a fun Bible with some prompts, with some coloring, with some tips and tricks on the inside. For me, this may not look like a very fun Bible, but it has these codes at the top. It comes with an app. You can scan it, and it pops up with different songs that go along with the passages, different videos, different topics, different devotions that you can read. And for me, being very techie, that gets me excited, right? When I can get my phone out and scan something and engage with God's word that way, right? It's so cool. Another way for me that I really have grown to have a passion for God's word is listening to it. I'm all about the audio Bible. Me, I don't typically like reading, so when I can engage with God's word and someone else is reading it to me and I can just follow along, that's when I get excited about getting into God's word. I even found an app that has like music playing in the background and a little bit, it's like an R&B hip hop track going in the back, and the reader reads it in more like of a spoken word type of way. And it gets me excited to get in to God's words. There's different videos, different apps, all different ways. And if there's something that you're really curious about and want to get into more, you can Google Keith Farron, and he has specific books on how to have an incredible passion for God's word. So next, after we enjoy God's word, we need to learn how to normalize Bible talk. Not just to be able to talk about the Bible when we're at our Bible study, at our small groups, at the church, but how can we normalize the Bible talk everywhere? When we get back into Deuteronomy, we can read that it says, "Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up." Notice there, it doesn't say anything about the tabernacle. It doesn't say anything about the church. Throughout Deuteronomy, yes, the tabernacle is important. Moses says that's the place where you go and have the feasts and the sacrifice and the tithes. There's a place, but when it comes to getting into God's word, to talking about him, it needs to be in everyday life. And I think one of the things that we kind of can get hooked up on is when we're passing down the Bible and we want to talk about the Bible, we always want to have like an application, or we want to have like the answer for what we're talking about. But application doesn't always need to be there. One of the best ways to normalize Bible talk is with questions, right? Asking, what happened at creation? Was it seven literal days or was it figurative days, right? Questions that we might not know the answer to. Dinosaurs. When did God create the dinosaurs? Do our pets go to heaven? These aren't questions that we can just have in our everyday life to just normalize Bible talk. That it's okay to answer questions, to have doubts. It's not always about having the answer. Another great way to normalize Bible talk is through gratitude. Just as you're going about your day, saying things like, "Wow, what a beautiful sunset. I'm so thankful that God has created that." Work God into those everyday things that you see that are just beautifully made and just have that sense of wow and wonder about them. Praise God for everything that you see. And the more you talk about the Bible, the more the next generation will want to engage with it. The more they will think that this is something that isn't just for this building on a Sunday morning, but it's something that I can give my whole life to. One of the other things you could do is just sharing a verse each and every day. Maybe it's as you're frantically trying to get out of the house in the morning before you leave. You can get, there's lots of apps with verses of the day, or you can crack open your Bible from whatever you're reading and share that verse. Maybe you want to write it on a sticky note and stick it on the mirror, stick it in your kids' lunchbox before they head out. Have that Bible just be part of the everyday. And like I said, it's not always about the depth of your conversations, but it's more about the frequency. How often are you engaging with God in your normal everyday talks? The next thing, after we've learned to enjoy the Bible, we've normalized the Bible talk, is connecting the Bible to everyday life. Again, looking back into Deuteronomy 6, we're talking about walking along the road as you lie down, as you get up, in the home, on the road. All these things are just connected to the everyday. It's great when you can share stories about what's happening in your life with those around you and connect them to God. Maybe it's something like you're just really stressed. Share that with those around you and share that, hey, I was able to pray to God today and it helped lift that from my shoulders, that I was a little less stressed, a little less worried because I prayed to God. Is that something that you're able to share naturally? Something that we can do to connect it to the everyday. And we need to be real about it too, right? When we're connecting to our day-to-day, we're not always joyful and excited and glad. Sometimes we're mad and angry with God. And we can say that, right? That's not something that we have to keep to ourselves. You can tell people that you're mad at God. It's making God a real relational being and not this distant deity that we just come once a week to engage with, but someone that we can have a relationship as we connect him to our everyday. Maybe as you're going about and you see some homeless people on your day-to-day, you can have a conversation about God's compassion and about his justice and mercy and how he loves everyone. Maybe you can start to discuss money and generosity and what the Bible talks about that as you're in the grocery store, talking about Genesis 1 and creation as you're on a hike. All these different ways that we can make that connection between faith and life. Because for the next generation to fall in love with God's word, they have to see the Bible as relevant in their world. The next way that we can pass down this passion to the next generation is having conversations of identity over morality. Identity over morality. So often we can get stuck and think that the Bible is just a book of do's and don'ts, but it says so much more about who we are than what we are supposed to do. So when we're talking about the Bible, when we're passing it down to the next generation, are we just saying that this is what God wants you to do or what he doesn't want you to do? Are we sharing the incredible things that God tells us of who we are? Let me just share just a few of them with you. And if you want references for these, I can give them to you after. I'm going to speed through them pretty quick here. But the Bible says, you are a child of God. It says, you have a mighty God who is for you, not against you. You have been crucified with Christ and you no longer live, but Christ lives in you. You have access to the throne of God where you can receive his mercy and find grace. You have been raised with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly realm. You are a part of God's family. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You have everything you need for life and godliness. You have been bought with a price. You are called to be free. You have been ransomed by the Son of God. You are not condemned. You have been forgiven. You have become the righteousness of God. You're God's workmanship, his poem, his masterpiece. You have been set free from the law of sin. You have been made alive in Christ. You have been given authority in Christ. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made. You are dead to sin and alive in God. And I got another page here, but I'm going to stop it right there. I think you get the idea that when we're talking about God, when we're sharing our passion, we need to let the next generation know that it's just about as much as who you are and what you are to do. And those conversations can be hard. Morality is nice because it's just often black and white, do's and don'ts. Our identity often fits in those gray areas where we have lots of questions. But this next generation needs to know that they are children of God, that they are loved, that they are valued, that they are worthy. And through that, they can make the decisions of morality. You can walk them through those decisions of morality when they are rooted firmly in their identity in Christ and they know who they are. You know, we are great at teaching on how to listen to us as adults, but we're not great on teaching how to listen to God, right? God just wants to pour love out and share with his creation, with his people, who they are. So let's pass that down to the next generation. And the last one is invite people in. Invite people in. Because it just isn't one or two people that have the responsibility of passing on this passion to the next generation. It's for all of us. This isn't a call, again, like I said, to parents. This is a call to the church, to all of you, to be invited in. As we look back at Deuteronomy 6, that last statement there, it says, to write them on your doorframes of your houses and on your gates. The Israelites, they lived in community. They welcomed people into those gates, into those spaces. So I'm going to ask you, who are you welcoming in to your house, into your gates? Who are you passing that passion onto? The Youth Fuller Institute did a study a couple of years ago surveying Christians who, Christian adults who lasted in their faith, who didn't, get to college and then scrap the whole thing. And one of the common threads through all of them was they had five adults that they could name in their life that weren't related to them. They all had five adults that they could name that impacted their life. Five Christians who passed down their passion for God's word to them. That wasn't their parents, wasn't their grandparents, wasn't their aunts or uncles. That's this room of people right here. We were called to pass down to the next generation. And as I've been saying this term next generation quite a few times over the last 25 minutes here, I want you guys to know that, that's not just kids, right? Not just students, not just young adults, but really anyone younger than you is the next generation to you, right? However old you are, you have a call and a purpose and a mission to pass down this passion that you have for God onto the next generation. So we need to start with enjoying it ourselves. Enjoying the Bible, creating that passion within us. We need to normalize Bible talk. We need to put the Bible into our everyday life. We need to have more conversations about identity over morality. And we need to invite others in. We need to do this together because we are better together. And this is going to look different for everyone. Everyone is in a different season, a different stage of life, different connections. So this isn't just a one-stop shop plan that's going to work for everyone. You're going to have to figure out how this is going to be implemented in your life. But God has called us to pass our passion down to the next generation. Pass his truths, his love, his commands. Because we want to see everyone come to Christ. We want to see this world transformed. And it starts with us. It starts with us as we pass down our passion to the next generation. I'm going to invite the worship team back up here, and I want to pray for us this morning. Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much for who you are and who you have made us to be. God, I thank you that you have called us to live in community, that we are not to live in isolation, but you have made us better together. God, may you just help us to continually have a passion for you and your word. God, may you continue to stir up that desire in our hearts to go and just be still in your presence. God, stir up that passion for us to seek more of you, to dive deep into your word, to continue to grow, to be more like you. But God, as you have called your church to pass down that love, that passion, that desire, your laws, your commandments, may we take that seriously. May we learn how to do that in effective ways. May we take what our passion is and just pass that through everyone we meet. God, whether it's at home, at the playground, at a restaurant, at our places of work. God, may that passion that is just inside of us just ooze out to those around us. May we bring light to dark places. May we not think of discipleship as a once-a-week thing that happens mainly on Sunday mornings, but something that is happening through us each and every single day. God, thank you that we don't do this just with this community, but we do this with you. God, you equip us. You give us the strength, the wisdom, the knowledge that we need to continually work with you to build and advance your kingdom, to share your word with those that haven't heard it. God, to be your hands and feet to this world. So God, just be with us as we go about our daily lives, as we impact the next generation for you. And we pray this in your name. Amen.